And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Great to have the old band back together, lads. That's all I'm saying. So JJ is in studio and Damien Hayes is on the line. It's like, this is the first ever show we did, lads. We're back. We're all back together.
We're back with a bang, all right, yeah.
Damien's the championship hurler. You've been a stalwart here, JJ. You battle.
Damien takes a little bit of rest. He comes back in and takes all the glory for the championship again.
You're in Brian Cody mode. You have to show up for league matches.
I have to perform every week. Then Hayes comes in and gets the All-Star in the summer, like...
Yeah, well, Colin, if I was on JJ's package, maybe I'd do the league as well.
I heard
all of these perks. Like, the only perk you give me, Colin, while you sit me down, two tickets for the Ed Sheeran to try to butter me up for the all summer.
You got two tickets for Ed Sheeran, is it? We renegotiate again, you know that?
Overnight stay in everything.
Listen, I don't mind you putting that lie out there. That might, you know, just paint me in a really kind of favourable light. You're more of a summer hurler anyway, Damien. Like, I mean, you when you had your speed, you were like me. When the ground started getting that little bit harder, that's when you came into your own, I'm sure.
Yeah, the current championship, Colin, I would absolutely love to have played, we'll say, in championship where it's all the summer and there's games, you know, week on, week off, you know, just like some teams are going to play 4 weeks in a row, example Wexford, you know. So yeah, I would absolutely thrive in this, and I think an awful lot of players would. It's a killer training and hurling in the winter months. And like, I have to be honest and say, I never really enjoyed the Skibbon Cup hurling, you know, because it didn't suit me. You know, it suits other players and all that, but it just didn't suit me to probably the size of player I was and maybe my speed and all that. But yeah, during the summer, to be playing match week in, week out, I would absolutely thrive and I would absolutely love it. Just pity this current championship wasn't there a couple of years ago. But then I feel sorry for the club player. But anyways, yeah, I love the summer hurling, yeah.
Well, you're young enough actually to still be playing, weren't we? Me and Cheddar were talking last Thursday that Conal Keeney's a year older than you, so there's no excuse for you whatsoever. What are you doing?
It's gas. Myself and Conal and JJ are the same age. I think we were all minor the 1 year through in the year 2000, which is telling our age now. But just on Conal, you know, and say he was on the podcast last year, and you know, he came back this year, so he did under Gilroy, and it's just amazing to say, like, when Cunningham came in, Joe Cunningham, Conal was too old. He was not lively enough, not fast enough. He was going for youth, you know. And next thing, Gilroy comes in and he goes, that lad has lots to offer, you know, and he's well able to hurl. And next thing, he puts him back on the squad, puts him back on the panel, plays him centre forward. Absolutely has a brilliant game for Dublin, so he has for 60 minutes. And when he goes off, basically Dublin fall apart, you know. And it's just amazing what one manager can come in and do. And then another manager, you know, it's just amazing. But yeah, it's fair play to Conal at his age to do what he did. But it's amazing what one manager comes in and he goes, nah, he's too old, get rid of him.
Yeah.
Where another manager comes in and doesn't look at his age at all and says, he's got some ability and he's able to offer this and he has strength and he's able to catch ball and he's definitely on my panel. So it's just two different logics, but yeah, I was glad for Conal, it's fair play to him. But age means nothing, it's all about ability.
Yeah, I forgot about you, JJ. Sure, you're that same age as well, and Kilkenny are having problems at full back. Like, I mean, were you watching that game last week going, Jesus, here.
I'm not hanging around by my phone now asking, waiting for Brian Cody to ring me back now.
Wouldn't cross your mind though. I'd say, like,
I'm happy enough sitting now looking at it now, I'll be honest with you, you know.
Conal Keeney's inspired lots of 35-year-olds to think, here, Jesus, what was I thinking?
Give one more crack at it again. But no, it's just not the easiest thing to do.
Colin, what happens there is, right, an awful lot of managers come in to get the job for their senior team, right, i.e. Dublin, right? And what they do is they come in to do the interview process and it's all about a 3-year plan. And this is what happens, and the same thing happened in Galway, we'll say Anthony Cunningham came in, we'll say back in 2012, we'll say. He got rid of a lot of older players and he was going with his youth policy and he was going with younger players. And that's what happened when John Cunningham came in. He got rid of a lot of good players that were in their, we'll say, 32, 33 year age bracket, and in exchange, I replaced them with younger guys. And I just say, younger guys is all grand, but some of them guys aren't as good, aren't a seasoned campaigner, aren't as experienced, aren't fully developed, fully strong enough to compete. And that's what happens. It's all about this 3-year plan. So we blood players this year and we blood players again next year, but it's the third year that we're going to really strive to make a big impact in the championship. And I find an awful lot of management teams do that to get the job.
Yeah, sure, look, it's the easiest thing to do now is to get rid of the older players when going with young lads again. But like, he put himself on a limb bringing back all these guys there again, like Lisa Cohen, and playing him centre forward there as well. And look, he obviously gave him, he had a chat with him at the start of the year, and see, he was going to give him the opportunity to play in league. No, he played every league game as well. Now, in fairness, it wasn't the case, he was just waiting, he saved himself for the championship either, like, you know. But like, Cohen had massive insight coming back into this year as well, and he was trying to prove a lot of people wrong. And once you have a player that's so dedicated like Cohen is, and having the motivation of, right, I'm going to show everyone what I can do, and just Pat Gillery just kind of honed him and point them in the right direction, and he's just paid them back in spades now, in fairness to him, you know. So, and look, again, he had a brilliant game against Kilkenny, and only for if he went off injured, they could have had a result there, and they could have had a result there last Sunday in Wexford Park there as well. So very, very unfortunate the way the injury happened.
The margins are that tight, lads. I kind of got sidetracked on that with her. That wasn't even on the top of my list here, but is Michael Ryan losing it? That's what I was going to start the show with, JJ. Like, I mean, you're not doing any media, 5 debutants, a whole shuffle of changes that maybe weren't consistent necessarily with the league. Like, it almost looks like Tipperary are scrambling here.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind the 5 debutants, because obviously they've been hurling well in training. We're not privy to what's going on for the last 3 or 4 weeks in training or club games, later, but obviously put their hands up and they picked them on form really more than that. But what I'd have a bit of an issue is that the manager not talking to the media after the game. Like, I don't know what he's trying to do with it, because it's actually bringing more attention on Tipperary than if he had went out, answered a few of the questions from the media, said something but say nothing, like the rest of the managers do, and just kind of tick the box and move on again.
But now it looks like there's a crisis or something, doesn't
it? Obviously you'd ask a few questions. What's going on in the background there? Why is he not talking to these guys? Why is he closing shop now? Is he blaming the media for something? Is something happening behind closed doors that we don't know about that he doesn't want to get out? There's so many questions that he could have just put to bed by come out, answering 4 or 5 questions for the media and done his duties and work away and that. So you'd be wondering what exactly he's thinking now, to be honest with you, because he's bringing more attention on Tipperary than, especially after the way they played there yesterday as well. They don't need any more attention, like, everyone to be focused on that. But I just wonder what he's doing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Damien. Eddie Brennan did a bit last night on how their team has changed from the All-Ireland winning team 2016, and that right up the middle, goalkeeper, full-back, centre-back, 2 midfielders, centre-forward and full-forward has all changed. Like, in the space of 2 years, and this isn't a team that's ageing or anything. He's just chosen to do that.
Yeah, it's just, yes, I couldn't believe, like, I backed Tipperary to win the Munster Championship on the show, Colin, and their performance yesterday was so poor. It was the baddest performance I've seen Tipperary play, and there was absolutely no urgency to their play. There was no energy. It didn't even look like they were up for the game. And then, like, their team selection, like, I heard the team selection on Friday night, and I actually thought it was a bogey team. And I really mean that, because, like, they had Seamus Kingsley back, full back, which they never tried all year. They had James Barry there for the whole year. Now, okay, James Barry was cleaned out by Walter Walsh in the league final, but this was James Barry's second, basically third year at full back. So they're still blooding him. The whole full back position, everything, you know. But next year, all of a sudden, dropped off the team. Kindy goes to full back. Next thing you have Ronan Maher that lines out at wing back, midfield for the whole league campaign. You know, next thing they have new corner back in, so they have, you know, they were such a strange team. And then when they were having crisis, let's say, with their cornerbacks, it was like they had no cornerback to put in. Like, Mickey Cahill, they tell me, is injured. Right, so next thing, where is Barrett? Is he injured as well? You have James Barry, who didn't get a look in his full back for the last 2 years. Then you have Hamill, they also tried him, never got a look in.
He's dropped off the panel, I think.
Is he okay? Well, then they tell me they've a lot of injuries, Colin, right? And it's just interesting, they're all hamstring injuries. So, like, you have to, like, Bonner was injured, he didn't play yesterday because he's hamstring. You got Brendan Maher that didn't play yesterday, he's hamstring. Mickey Cahill, a hamstring. So, like, you have to start asking the question, what training are they doing, or what training are they not doing?
Yeah.
You know, it was just bizarre. I couldn't get over how poor they were, and, like, I tipped them to win the Munster. I really did, but, jeez, I think they're in trouble. I don't think you can just turn it around in 7 days with a flick of a switch. Now, maybe it's going to be a master game plan by Mike Ryan to do what he's going to do, right? But like the whole thing of, I think they were talking about they were going to bring on the likes of Brendan Maher and Bonner Maher and Shamey Canlon as impact subs, and Lara Corbett said it on the telly yesterday, and have the roar of the crowd and finish out games. And maybe they were thinking that they'd finish out the game with a stronger 15 than they'd finish with, but it's completely backfired on them. Really have. I think this year they have problems in full back line. They didn't try enough of stuff so during the league, and they had a problem with a cornerback for the last 2 years with reserve cornerbacks, and they don't seem to have cornerbacks back in there. They had a whole new midfield. Is it Connors? Is that his name? Connors from Kilidangan?
Yeah.
Midfield. Wasn't he corner forward for the league final?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Like and your man McCarthy was centre half forward.
This is
the thing that confuses me. There doesn't seem to be any straight kind of thought process going on here. Yeah. It seems to be like, and we said right throughout the league, oh, he's mixing and matching and he's experimenting, which is exactly what we said is the right thing to do. You need a squad. But then you don't come out and play players in experimental positions in the first round of the championship, which he did. Yeah. Like I thought when I saw that team, I was the same as Damien. Ah, that's not the team.
Yeah, but like going back to Damien's point and what Lara said on Sunday regarding impact subs. If I Bonner Maher, I start Bonner Maher. There's no point in bringing him on with 10-15 minutes to go, especially if you're in trouble to win the game. He'll work hard and he'll win the ball and he'll get on to the scores, but you want him from minute one, so you'd want him first 10-15 minutes to test the Limerick defence. The Limerick defence, when Bonner came on in his defence, was the half-back line were cleaning out. They were cleaning up. The three guys hit a lot, mouth of the ball. And for Bonner to come in there and try and disrupt that, but their confidence is up at that stage. I'd have Bonner there, first minute, you get the ball and run at that defence as much as possible and keep them thinking as much as possible. But, like, fair enough, Shamey Callan coming on, he's a game changer. He'll score goals. He will score. And
he
that,
mightn't
that's
have
no
been 100%. You could actually.
No, you could justify that in fairness.
Brendan Maher had he a hamstring, Damien, saying there. So maybe there's reasons for this and we're being too.
But the quality of ball that was being hit in, JD, to the Tipperary forward line was not like Tipperary. The ball that was being hit in, it was like route one into number 14. Let's hope we work something off the breaks. Like, and I was just surprised with the whole, like, even Bubbles. And I'm a fan of Bubbles, but like Bubbles barely touched the ball in the first half. He got a point. But like I said this before on the show as well, Colm, I think they need to start playing Bubbles at centre forward.
Yeah.
So to get the best of him. He's not doing it at corner forward. He's a brilliant hurler. And just on what JJ says about, you know, start Bonner, my own opinion on hurling is, right, if you're good enough to come on, you're good enough to start. And this thing of bringing on the likes of Brendan Maher and Bonner Maher and Shamey Canlon, if them boys are good enough to come on, whether they have niggly injuries or not, they're good enough to start. And I think it was a chancy game that Mike Ryan played yesterday, and he paid the penalty sided. And like you have to remember too that Limerick missed the world of opportunity scores. They must have put five wide alone at the very end of the game. It could have been a hammering.
Yeah.
No, and I think Tip got the goals at the right time as well. Like, you
keep
know,
them
they got
in
the
it.
First goal they got in the first half. Now that kept them in it completely. Like, but if Noel McGrath wasn't on the ball, poking it into the full forward lane, the rest of the ball was going in.
It was terrible.
Just this defender's ball all day. Like,
right.
I'd say the Limerick full back line were rubbing their hands together. Like, you know, and only for Seamus Hickey was a bit more anxious now to get the ball. A few times he fouled, and that kept Tipperary in the game in the first half there as well. But then when Casey came on the second half, he was coming out with the ball, and Limerick seemed to be a lot more comfortable on the ball, and they knew exactly what they were doing. When the Limerick backs were coming out or midfield had the ball, their two corner forwards were moving to the opposite corners, and they were expecting to dangle the ball from the midfielders, and they got it as well. So whereas Tipperary were just kind of route one straight down on top of it. Maybe they want to get into Jason Ford as quickly as possible.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about that in part two, JJ, because Lara Corbett did say that they thought English was a weak link on the Limerick full back line. So maybe that route one, I'll ask, because I didn't see the game live. I just went off highlights. One or two other points I want to pick up on you with, lads, is Laois had a great win at the weekend. So they went up to Antrim and won after two disastrous games. Tried to get Eamon Kelly on the show, but I think he's keeping his head down, which is understandable enough when the games are coming every week. Don't want to criticise. Usually I get managers on after a win because they're happy enough after a win, but Eamon's probably still kind of smarting a bit after the first two losses, which is completely understandable. But Laois have an outside chance now, lads, of Westmead beating Kerry away yesterday. Meant Kerry have been beaten twice, Carlow have been beaten twice, Laois have been beaten twice, Westmead have not been beaten, and Kerry, who's in second place? Antrim have only been beaten once by Laois. So Antrim have to go away to Westmeath and also have Kerry at home. So the chances are Antrim could be beaten twice. So, all these teams. Well, looks like Westmeath are going to win it. And it looks like every other team has a chance in second place. Now, Laois's points difference is terrible. It's minus 12. Now, they have Meath to come. They're going to hammer Meath. Okay. And Meath are decent. But think of all this stuff I'm after talking about here. Is that not worthy of some sort of coverage? We've no coverage of it. Now, the big opposition to football championship becoming two-tier is that the second tier is going to be forgotten about. Do you know what I mean? And, the evidence is there in the hurling. Yeah. This is a second tier that's really exciting. Like, I'm trying to get interviews from these lads on this show, and we've done a good bit on Carlow, Kerry, Westmeath. We've gotten interviews, but I don't want to criticise the Sunday game because I do it all the time, but they didn't even read out the results. I was only home from Oma, and I had forgotten to check out the Westmeath Kerry game, and I couldn't believe it wasn't even read out. I had to go onto Twitter to find out what didn't even read out the results of it. It's like it's not even happening. This is a really good competition, JJ, and it's of their own level, and they're all beating each other, and it's exactly what we want. And is it not a point where Air Sport come in and cover this, or TG4 cover this?
I think you're going to have to follow up Buff Egan there on Snapchat now. He had all the game there for Kerry and Westmeath, so you've seen all the scores and that.
Really?
And only for that now you wouldn't seen anything at all.
And
you know,
I wouldn't be surprised if the GAA shut him down soon, because he's got no copyright rights to show those. But it was Buff Egan's tweet that actually alerted me to it. He said, "The Sunday game haven't shown 1 minute of action of the Joe McDonagh Cup with three rounds now played. Why are TG4 not allowed to show these games? They do so much great work promoting the GAA and will give these players the respect they deserve." What do you think, Damien? Isn't it? Surely there is another broadcasting kind of station that would be more than happy to show these games.
Well, these guys, Colin, train just as hard as any lads in the top division, and it's just to give an example, we have the Premiership in the soccer and then we have the Championship, and they say that the Championship is way more exciting to watch in soccer, where it's way more competitive, it's way more closer, it's way better soccer as well, it's tougher, right? But yeah, I couldn't agree anymore, Josh. I said it only 2 weeks ago, Colin, that we're not showing enough of the hurling matches on TV. So for someone to come in, they should be coming in and showing these games. The Joe McDonagh Cup, you have to remember, the cup is named after a great man as well, and we should be remembering that as well. But these games should be, and you're after seeing how close this thing is, this competition is, and Laois now are back in the running, maybe even to qualify, so the games are epic, they're close, they're tight, everything's so competitive, everyone is so equally matched. Absolutely, it should be aired. I do feel sorry for these like these players. They're training as hard as any of the top county inter county stars. So yeah, it should be viewed and it should be aired, and someone should put ruin behind it and do something about it.
Yeah, well, having said that, ye hurling people can't be complaining too much, because you got two games on telly yesterday and the big football game in Ulster wasn't shown. Isn't it bizarre the way the Championship has worked out now? Hurling is totally dominating now.
Yeah, at the moment.
But in July, hurling will take a back seat to the Super 8s, I'm sure, when the big 8. It's a weird one, but hurling fans at the moment should be delighted kind of with the deal that they have, but probably looking to July waiting for the slump.
Yeah, well, I suppose we're basking in hurling matches now at the moment. Then come July, then you're kind of saying, we've not even club games to go to, because the football will take over and tell you there's no point in saying any different either, but yeah, look, it's again, you're kind of first round of these leagues, first two games are gone now. It's probably, people are saying the last 2 weeks, it's not knockout champion, but for now on it's going to be knockout champion.
They're being played like knockout though, aren't they? No?
Yeah, but in certain extent, but there is still a kind of safety net there as well. You play your first two games, you have only one game of that, you can't afford to lose another one. You say Tip going to Cork now, or Tip are playing Cork now next Sunday, they have to win that game. If they don't win that game, there's savage pressure for the last couple of games to get a result, so it's going to be knockout championship now, and first couple of games will probably feed each other out now, and depending on the draw you got, you could be in a great position or you could be in a terrible position. Waterford coming in for the first game, but Clare can't lose to Waterford now next weekend as well, so it's going to be championship for Clare. We'll have to post that a knockout championship again, so from now on I can see it getting better and build up now as well, so it's going to be intriguing now from now on.
Yeah, it will, and there's two more hurling games obviously next weekend. huge one between Kilkenny and Galway, and there's a Munster one. Oh, Tipperary and Cork is on as well. So it's another huge Sunday for you boys, so you'll be delighted with that. I think I'll stay at home and watch those ones. I might go to a hurling one actually. All four home teams won, Damien. Like, I mean, you would have expected Kilkenny to win, but the other three 50-50 games, and they were all 50-50 games really, the home advantage swung it.
Absolutely, I said it. You should be winning all your home games, Colm, and the only one that hadn't won their home game was Dublin, which was in the very first game.
And they should have won that. Yeah.
Well, the joke going around is that Dublin have only been training for. They must have thought that the championship was only 65 minutes long. The game. This joke going around. If the whistle was blowing after 65 minutes, they'd nearly have a foot in the Leinster final. So, but look, you should be winning your home games. I've always said it, even in the league campaign. You put a marker down. This is your home patch. You should know what the pitch inside out. You should be very comfortable playing on the pitch. You know all the angles, all that sort of stuff. You're used to the dress rooms, the whole environment. So it is a massive advantage, and home venue makes a huge difference. And yeah, it's just as you said, Colin, very, very interesting that four home teams won the weekend. But just when you're saying bizarre, Colin, just to note something, Tip are playing Cork next weekend in Turles, isn't that correct?
Yeah,
and Tip are playing Cork in the football next weekend as well, isn't that correct?
Yeah, one Saturday, one Sunday, which is another weird one.
One is Saturday and one is Sunday. Why would they not just put them two games together on Sunday and have it a double header where you'd have a massive crowd at the Cork Tip playing senior hurling and football?
I have no idea. And Liam Kearns is losing his mind as well, because it's only given him six days and the seven.
But that just doesn't make sense. And like, there's no, as you just said there about they're showing the hurling matches, so it wasn't a case that they're looking for the two games to be shown, the other football and the hurling. But why not just have a double header with the hurling and the football on the same day? Just, you're on about bizarre. That one doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you'd like somebody to explain that. I think there was talk down at the hurling yesterday that that was being mooted, so it might happen because Liam Kearns is definitely.
Well, I have friends from Boris McCain, and like he was explaining to me last night, and he goes like, they're going to go to the football match because they're going to support the footballers on Saturday, and then it's go all the way back down again on Sunday.
Yeah,
to support the hurlers. Yeah, and they're all about expenses and money and all that, but you know, it's. It just doesn't make sense. That fixture doesn't make sense at all.
Well, it doesn't, and especially there was 1,700 people at the Tipperary football game in at home championship match. That's disgraceful. Now, I don't know why I'm saying it to you, JJ, because not like football is thriving in your county. You'll be lucky
you
to get
all
seven,
the games together. No, you wouldn't get that.
You'll be lucky to get 17 at a football.
That's doing players now.
What's going on with football?
You're just looking for the element. You're just looking for the whole element of cop on, like.
Yeah
it's common sense, like, isn't it?
Common sense. Could not put this girl, geez, we put these two games together, actually that'll be good. Now it'll bring the whole hurling and football, like, has it to do with gates or splitting the gates or something, or you know, fees or whatever? But it just didn't make sense.
No.
And just to mention it, because it just didn't make sense.
No, I was going to get on to JJ about football in Kilkenny, but I'm going to save that for another day. I'm going to keep this,
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm going to keep this brewing now for a while before I attack you about your lack of interest in football in Kilkenny.
Maybe it's a lack of ability, William. Maybe it's not an interest, ability maybe.
Right, we'll be back in a second and we'll look back at the matches.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up now, because there's no such thing as a media ban. We don't have a media ban.
Ah, you do?
No, we don't. But
you didn't let Shamey talk at a hurley launch one day.
Yeah, but hold on a second now. He was at a hurley launch, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a media ban if he can't talk at that.
Absolutely not. I think you guys need to do your job. Don't depend on us guys for quotes, you know.
Okay.
Earn your living like the rest of us.
But if he's at a media day and he says to the media that I'm not allowed to talk, then he's obviously on a ban.
Well, I think he's carrying a mixed message.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty apt sting to play there with me arguing with Michael Ryan about, guess what? A media ban last year. So, like, I mean,
maybe it's your fault, Willie, though. You won't talk to the media, is it?
He definitely has got to be in his bonnet about the media. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. He says it's not our job to give E. Colm inches. Like, he was fairly annoyed about it. Now, I did speak to him after the defeat against Cork in Semple Stadium. So maybe he just doesn't like speaking. Look, in a manager's defence,
part of the job, though, isn't it?
It is part of the job. But coming out when you're livid, like, you'd almost maybe say, geez, I wouldn't trust myself here now, because you know, if that reporter gets under my skin, I could say something that I don't like. Although you wouldn't really expect, maybe, you know, Marty doesn't usually get under their skin. They usually kind of, you know, are very respectful towards them, unless it's Cody.
They got him once.
I don't even think Marty said anything wrong.
Marty, you played something wrong.
Marty Morrissey, in that interview, simply asked about a huge moment in the game, which was a penalty, and Cody absolutely lynched
him. Guarantee he'll never ask it again.
Do you remember that, Damien? I thought Cody was so unfair on Marty there. Like, I mean, what I thought Marty should have stuck up for himself in that one.
He would just, it like putting a red flag for us to a bull. So I'd say, to be honest, it's probably no matter what question you ask Frank Cody, you'd probably want to get the blunt of the three of us. So he could have asked him anything. So as you said, I think there was a story going around one time about Davey Fitz when he was going to do an interview, that he used to go out and next thing he could just say absolutely anything that come out of his mouth because he'd be so livid. But before they started doing interviews with him, I think maybe 2 years ago, they used to nearly sit him down and go, are you okay now? Are you relaxed? I think they got someone then as well to help them out with media questions, as in, like, you know, to tell them what to say, because Davey could come out with absolutely anything, you know. And it's all grand when Davey wins, for example, but if he lost, the comments, anything could come out with a comment. So, man, as I said, Marty just got the blunt of it. I'd say it didn't matter what question, he was going to get the blunt off Brian that day.
No, and would Cody kind of laugh about that? Like, would he say, I'm after eating Marty Morrissey out there?
He'd kind of move on there. He wouldn't even have at all.
Because he's spiky enough. Like, I mean, you'd be on edge when you're interviewing him, in case he might get ratty
too,
about.
Looking at him too. It's intimidation. That's what it is.
I tend to, when I interview, smile a lot, just kind of
you break the ice.
just to let him know this is not confrontation, we're friends here
and keep nodding the head, as in you're nodding your head saying I'm agreeing with everything you're saying there. Nodding the head,
right, well, we'll get into this game, lads, the Limerick one, because Kylie said after the game, we dominated really from start to finish, and this is fairly like fair analysis from him, really, and it's not often you hear managers say this. We dominated from start to finish, and it was only a couple of goals that kept tipping it, really, like, I mean, which seems to be fair enough from everything I've been hearing. Tip scored 6 points from playing the whole game, JJ. Like, this was a domination.
Yeah, something similar to happen against it was a Galway National League final. Galway just took over, and it wasn't as bad as a beating, but if they hadn't got the goals at that particular time, and Limerick, if you take it, they drove around 7 or 8 wides in the first half as well. The first 10-15 minutes, they were getting opportunity after
opportunity, Limerick.
Yeah, they were just hitting them wide, and you're kind of saying, geez, if you don't get these scores now, you're going to get punished. And look, Tip went up and got the goal, but Limerick all over the field were the better team now, in fairness to them. Spoke about kind of Seamus Hickey was fouling a bit more in the first half and kind of kept Tip scoreboard ticking over there. Jason Ford was scoring them regularly as well, but like, the half back line was completely dominant. Dermot Burns, Hannon and Morrissey, they were just stayed in the half back line. Noel McGrath was going back out the field, he was picking up a small bit of ball, but when he did, Declan Hannon was going back into full back line to get
they
the
breaks
as well.
Right.
Yeah, they were letting him off, and then their Limerick half forwarding was coming back into midfield as well,
so
they were
McGrath
kind of picking him up there as well. And then they kind of, if the ball went backwards to Paddy Maher, there was two or three on him as well, so they were kind of knocking him back. They had their homework done in Tipperary now, in fairness to them. And Tipperary, the way they played into Limerick's hands, there was high ball into the Tipperary full forward lane, and the boys, two cornerbacks, I thought had a very, very good game. Sean Finn is a great hurler. I like him. He just attacks the ball, he's tigerish, and he's out in front, and he doesn't mind doing the kind of doggy stuff either, like, you know. But when he does get the ball, they're all very relaxed on the ball as well. What I like to see is when they win a ball and they go out in front and they're solo out the field, they look up, head up 10-15 yard pass, 20 yard pass, or else they hit into space. They don't panic on the ball as well. So it's a great performance from Limerick. And you'd have to admire John Kiley as well. He stuck with the guys that got him out of Division 1B. He didn't throw in the Piercy lads there as well, and that shows how strong the panel is as well. And again, with 20 minutes 15 minutes to go, he unloaded the bench and got fresh legs onto the field, and the guys that came on done their part there as well.
Yeah, so Dempsey and Casey came on for an Appearshig. Was it just two of them that came on for an Appearshig? He's in a huge amount for that club team, but I think they only had 3 weeks with the team or something like that. How did Limerick impress you, Damien? Like, I mean, it's well documented now that they have a half back line that's dominant, and all good teams have a dominant half back line.
Colm, hats off to John Kiley, manager. He's done a great job. He's got them out of Division 1B. He's got them promoted. So he has stuck with the team. He has them well coached. He has them well trained. They're fit. They're aggressive. The back line are tough. So they have a really good half back line. I particularly like this Burns guy, left hand on top. I think he's an absolutely brilliant hurler. So I do. I think he's top class. I think Hannon has matured. Being honest, he's the captain of the team. I think he's matured now, so he's starting to show a real bit of quality and a real bit of leadership. So he's towards this Limerick team. So yeah, as you know, up front, then I think Graham Mulcahy had a fantastic first half. He got 4 points from play, and it wasn't just that; it was his movement as well. And he also offloaded a couple of assists for scores. You know, and as Gas, I was watching the match yesterday. They took him off, and I said, "Why are they taking him off?" Graham Mulcahy for like this. Next thing they brought in Murphy, so they did the corner forward. And what does he do? He goes in and he adds the goal. But the one thing that really impressed me about Limerick was they seemed to be playing as a team. It didn't matter who scores, it didn't matter, you know, about individuals. It was all about the collective, the teamness, and everything. And hats off them. They had a brilliant, brilliant performance. As I said, they could have won the game by 10 plus points. And John Kiley's assessment of the game was they were on top from the very start. They were on top from the very start. And Tip were extremely disappointing, really, really disappointing, very, very disappointing in Tipperary. But well done to Limerick, and fair play to them, well deserving of their win, well deserving of it.
They're almost taking Kilkenny intensity levels. They're taking Kilkenny's working half forward to work around the midfield like crazy men. Then they're taking a little bit of clear short hand passing game and movement into forwards. And, you know, they nearly have a little bit from every team of their strong points. Like, yeah. I mean, this is it. When you look at the team, like there's no point in saying it's a good team and these players are going to become more household names as they keep going. At the moment, maybe not household names like, say, Tipperary, but this is a team. Yeah. This is a team that is really, really, they know what they're doing, they know what they're about, and they've brought that level of intensity that they don't drop off that.
Yeah, and the leaders all over the field there as well. And Garrod Hegarty had a brilliant, brilliant game again now the other day as well, or yesterday.
Yeah.
He won a lot of ball in the air and drove at the Tipperary defence. He's a big, big, powerful man. When he gets going, he's very, very hard to stop, and he's able to score there as well. But I like Aaron Gallan, the full forward, and he's their go-to guy. I think if you're going to stop this Limerick team, you're going to have to stop him, because he can take it low or else he can win ball in the air. No matter, they tried Flynn on him, they tried Dunamar on him, but he roasted right. the tube now, to be honest.
And what
with
about
you,
Flanagan? I really like him. He's a real wholehearted player.
Yeah, he's a workhorse there as well. But I think everyone goes through Gallan. Anytime the lads are out the field, they're trying to feed him wherever Gallan is. They're trying to get the ball into him as quickly as possible, because he is that much dangerous. Now, he missed a couple of frees. All right, now you'd forgive him that first day out, but I like to look at him in the league, and he's improving there much. And I think Graham McCatty is benefiting from having an Aaron Gallan in there with him, because before they hitting the ball into Graham McCatty, expecting him to win it and go scoring, but now they're hitting a high ball into Gallan. He's winning it, he's offloading it, or else he's breaking it, and then Graham McCatty is just so pacey, and he can just go off the breaking ball there as well.
Yeah, so that half forward line is really important then. Obviously Hegarty Hayes and Morrissey Hayes has played centre back in his time. So, like, I mean, if Damien, if their half back line is holding their positions, those three lads have a huge responsibility to be picking up their men that are dropping into midfield.
After the column, say the middle eight is vital. Middle eight is vital. Half back time, midfield, half four now. And Limerick completely dominated the middle eight. Completely. JJ said, Noel McGrath was centre forward. He was coming out around the middle of the field. And you had Bubbles O'Dwyer, who wasn't getting the lucrative inside. They brought him out nearly as a third midfielder. So they took off both midfielders. So they had to reshuffle how many times in the half four line. So Limerick were completely on top in the middle eight. The half four line won ball. They were tough. They were strong. They basically competed. They were competitive. So they were, and hats off to Limerick. As I said, they went out there. I thought it was very low pace to the game at the very start. I thought there was, the championship wasn't going to open up. I thought it was a completely different pace and level to the Cork Clear game. Right, you know, but Limerick went at their business, doing that very, very professional. it was important that they won that game. Yes, it would have been a home venue in the Gaelic Grounds and all that, you know, and especially for them being a young player to progress. But Limerick were very good yesterday, and Tipperary were extremely poor yesterday, and that's probably the way. But Limerick should have beaten them more. And you're saying about their scoring, you know, they missed last shots at the start and maybe at the end of the game, but they'll brush up on that more the championship goes along. They'll get sharper and they'll get better at that end, and if they can tidy up the end of it, yeah, they will push on. You know, they should set their sights on the Munster championship, even though I back Tip, but maybe Tip are going to surprise me. But I don't know what they can do in 7 days with that very, very low key performance yesterday.
Yeah, just to finish up in Limerick, JJ, Kylie said, we manned up really well. We dominated on their puck out. How did they dominate on their puck out, or where were Tip going with
the Tip were going long for the puck out, majority of the time, probably 90% of the time they went long and just played.
To the Limerick halfback line?
Yeah, halfback line. They're big, big men as well. They're all 6 foot plus, and they're just every high ball come down, they're winning it. Tip half four lane, I suppose Dan McCormack curled well. Noel McGrath is not going to win a huge amount of ball in the air. Sean Curran didn't really play that well as well. So Dan McCormack, if he didn't win the ball, then the full four lane wasn't going to get it, you know. So just, and the round of breaks were in the middle of the field as well. Keane Lynch and Donovan were in the middle of the field. They broke any breaks there, they were getting it, and they were feeding it into the full four lane. So that was their game plan now, just to stop them in the half four lane. And then that was their platform, and they took over from minute one in there.
This, Tomás McCaughey said, Damien, that this is the worst Tip performance I've seen for a long, long time. There seems to be a serious lack of drive, a lack of appetite. And we touched on that on the top of the show. It doesn't look like that's a very healthy camp.
It was a very, very poor performance by Tip. I couldn't believe it. As I said to you, first of all, I thought it was a bogey team. I just throwing a team out to the media. There were so many of them, they were so bad. It was just unbelievable. John McGrath was way below his best. And I said, if lads are good enough to come on, whether they have niggly injuries or not, they're good enough to start. And I think this whole game plan is we'll bring on the lads to finish out the game, we'll finish off with a stronger team or whatever. That has completely backfired. You'll see a completely different team now for Tip next Sunday, so where they'll start with their strongest team. If Shamie Callan is good enough to start, he's good enough to start, but they're going to have to I just can't understand simple things, Colin. They play Ronan Maher midfield for almost the whole league campaign and then play him centre back for the league final. And TJ caused them off problems. Porrick Maher is centre back for nearly the whole league campaign. Then they play him wing forward or wing back for the league final, and then he's back centre back the last day. They put in a new full back, they put in a new goalkeeper, they put in a completely new midfield. It was just bizarre stuff. Like, if he went with the team that were playing well on the ground down in Turles, maybe that's the whole thing backfired on him. There was one stage, I watched the match on television, there was one stage just Michael Ryan just turned around and he goes to his selectors and they zoomed in them and he looked around and he threw his hand up as in, what do we do? And there was none of them had answers.
Yeah.
They were being creamed all over the pitch and they lost the complete battle of the middle eight. And like, you take, for example, Seamus Hickey didn't give away four frees in the first half, right? Where there were easy scores to Tipperary, and then he was at fault for the goal as well, right? But Tipperary struggled all over. I worry about Tipperary. I don't know what's going to happen. They need to put in a massive performance next Sunday, or they're in dire straits.
It's the long ball, JJ, is the one that I can't understand, because that's not Tipperary. That's not there. Like, one thing about Tipperary, I think it's from Eamon O'Shea's time, is that they give unbelievable ball into the forward line. Like, they're so measured, and it's Paddy Maher down the wing to Shamie Callan breaking out. Like, sure, you know about that. Like, they just give lovely ball in front of them. So why would they go long ball? Like I was mentioning at the top of the show, Lark Corbett, and seemed like he had been hearing good information, because he had that McCarthy would be in midfield, and he just seemed like he had a bit of you wouldn't say he's getting information from the camp, but the talk around Tip is the rumours, but he was like, the rumours are that they're going to target English, that he's not good in the air. So would that be a reason they were going with the long balls? Or
be a reason for the first 10-15 minutes, but if it's not working, why do it again and again and again? Because it was just two cornerbacks I thought were excellent on Tipperary full forwarding, but
because they're Tigerish cornerbacks, Finn and English.
I think Finn is a great holder now, to be honest with you. You know, I think he heard very, very well yesterday now, and I think he's going to improve. But but I suppose Polymar, they didn't really let Polymar come up with the ball and were hitting him and knocking him back, and I'd say they had a focus on not letting him clear the ball. It, like, hand passed it off to the two wings, let them clear it, fair enough, but Paddy's such a big player for Tipperary, and they were trying to curtail his influence on the thing. Maybe him not clearing the ball was another reason why Tipperary was going long with, because he's usually very, very good with the ball in his hand, you know. Right. But the Limerick lads just weren't letting him come out with the ball, you know. And it's one of those days that Tip really, you're waiting for them to turn up. They scored the first goal, you're waiting, right, they're going to kick on here now. Never did. Scored a second goal, geez, they're back into this game, they could take on again.
Yeah.
But never did again. Limerick were actually the stronger, finishing stronger, and only for the two goals and a few frees that Limerick conceded.
And
could have been a worse day at Arcadar.
JJ, this is a question. Where was Michael Breen yesterday as well?
Yeah, like, he was on the bench as well, isn't he?
Michael Breen plays in the backs for his club. He's played midfield, he's played centre forward. They've been playing him corner forward for the whole league campaign. It wasn't like they were having problems in all them areas. And, like, no sign of Michael Breen either. Like, it was just really, really strange. Like, Michael Breen could have played in four different positions for them yesterday, but...
And physically, he would have been ideal for that game as well, because Limerick are a big, big team, and Michael Breen is a big, big unit when he gets going. He's physically big and strong as well, so you think that game would have suited him down to ground as well, to throw him into the mix there as well, especially around midfield, like, because his legs as well, like, he's able to hurt too, you know. Yeah. So
unless he's injured, because I don't know the answer to that, because you'd imagine it was definitely a no brainer that he would be getting in at some stage into a game like that. So.
You just wonder what you're looking at the team, or you wonder what Tip can do now for
Kyle Barrett,
next one.
Like, he's disappeared. Yeah. Like, maybe
he's injured. Yeah, I think he is injured now. But
maybe there are these injuries that we're like, in Cahill, the cornerback, and
it's just that full back line. Like, you were looking at the full back line, Tip full back line, you're kind of saying, geez, if we get the ball in over the half back line, you have a fair chance, you know. And is there an argument, you know, you're taking one of your best players out centre back, or you're putting Paddy back in full back like you did in the league final, just to settle that full back line, and then you put Ronan Maher in centre now, maybe Brendan Maher back wing back or something like that, you know what I mean, to straighten
put
up
Ronan
the backs,
Maher,
you know?
In bloody midfield where he played great all year. That's the one I can't comprehend. Yeah. I know Damien said it, but, like, I mean, if you're outstanding, you're almost him and his sidelines were almost, his performances and his sidelines were almost the talk of the league.
Yeah,
he was the one success story from Tip out of league, and then to just move him out of there for the league final and for the championship. I don't get that. I'd love to ask Michael Ryan. We'll have to wait until the four games are over. Obviously the other one of the day, obviously Cork end up winning it by 5 points, but that's not a fair reflection, is it, or is it on the way the game went, JJ?
It was an even enough game, alright, now, to be fair, you know.
There wasn't 5 points in it, was there, because it was a draw match right up until injury.
It was, you had got a couple of scores near the end, but with Cork, they got the goal and Clare kind of responded, but then you're waiting again for Clare to kick on, but they never did again, and Cork took over for the last few minutes as well. But Seamus Hardy got the goal and in the last couple of minutes kind of put the gloss on it, really, more than anything. But it was a good competitive game, alright, but very, very loose at times. I think it was, you go up the field, you score, you come back down the field, and then the other team scores, you know.
Because they're two nice teams.
They are
isn't
nice
that
teams
high? That's, you just describe both of them as nice.
Yeah, Clare is,
and
just,
that's not a compliment,
you know. You're looking at Clare, you're kind of saying, you're wondering on paper, look, Jesus, a very, very good team. You're waiting for them to make this breakthrough, but we're talking about this for the last 3 or 4 years with the same group of players, but they're not doing it. They're lacking something. I don't know what it is. Very, very hard to put your finger on. I'm not even a Clare supporter, but it still frustrates me that looking at this team, you have all the ability in the world, and there's a small thing that's holding them back, but what it is, I just don't know, you know, that kind of way. So it's just frustrating. But back to Cork, you have to give them, pay them compliments. The few young players that came to the fore last year, came to the fore again now. I think Mark Coleman is a brilliant wing back, and Darren Fitzgibbon was absolutely unbelievable mid of the field. He was just up and down the field, and the engine and the legs that man has. Near the end as well, he was just running up, and one of the cornerbacks to come with the ball, and Darren Fitzgibbon, he swear he wasn't jogging, he just sprinted past the cornerback looking for a layoff for a pass there as well. Like, even in the last minute, he was wanting the ball there as well, and I think he had a phenomenal game.
He did, but, like, I mean, you look at the Cork midfield, Fitzgibbon's outstanding. The Cork midfield scored 4 points from play, and the Clare midfield scored 1-5 from play. So it's probably one of those games, Damien, where ye score and we score, and it seemed like Cork would get a point, Clare would get a point. Maybe you might have an insight into what Clare are actually lacking. You're down there enough.
Yeah, well, first thing to say, that I knew there'd be a kick in this Cork team. They didn't win the Munster Championship last year for nothing, you know, and they still have the same core players down there, you know. Cadigan being injured was a loss to them as well yesterday, right? They could have got to the All-Ireland final, Colm, possibly should have last year, but it didn't work out for them, you know. But just to say that Coleman's 25th minute block down when Clare were going in for a goal was just top class. Looking back, it was just unbelievable, brilliant. Fitzgibbon, unbelievable. Then you have the boys up the front. See, they're absolutely unbelievable players. But you're just saying about the Clare lads. This is my own opinion on Clare. Right, they have no excuses, none whatsoever. They won in All Ireland was a 3-4 years ago. They still have a lot of them players. They have no excuses. They have the talent. They have the players. They're overdoing this trying to create goals. I said this the other day, so I did. They're overdoing trying to score. The Cork, you watch Cork. Cork are constantly tapping them over. The goal will come, and Cork finish out scoring 2 goals. You know, and Tony Kelly got a goal yesterday. You know, and I don't think Anthony Nash would have been too happy with himself when he looks back at it. You know, but Clare are trying to emphasise too much on scoring goals. That's my own opinion. They need to start taking their point. I think they need to rejig the forward line. I would play Tony Kelly in corner forward, stroke full forward now. That's my own, and tell him to roam around the forward line. He's playing midfield, right, and he's our ambassador here, right? But what I mean by that is it would give him the freedom of the park, where when he's midfield, he still has a responsibility at midfield to mark a man and to be backtracking and helping out the half-back line. Where if they played him corner forward to a full forward, he could pull a corner back or a full back all over the pitch, going in and out and getting on to score. So he might score as much as he did yesterday. It was great that he scored 1-3, but I think Clare overdoing the whole trying to score goals. They're constantly overdoing it, where if they just keep taking their points, they'll have better. But once again, as Jay just said, the next game, there's a big game for all these teams that won game, lost now, if they lose the second game, they're in big trouble. But Clare have no excuses. They should be doing better. Clare's do better, and they should be doing better.
I think the two huge players when they won the All-Ireland was Conor McGrath and Podge Collins. And McGrath's gone off the boil for a while, and Collins, Podge isn't even a guarantee for the team anymore, Damien.
No, the football upset Podge. You know, his dad was the manager of the football team, and he felt that he needed to play football to support his dad and all that sort of stuff. And then he done his cruciate, and he hasn't nailed down a position since he done his cruciate, and he's in and out of form, and now he's injured again, and he's just injured. So, like as you said, Conor McGrath. I tell you one thing, the two cornerbacks for Cork yesterday were unbelievable. I thought they were brilliant. So they were tough and they were tigerish, and they done a great job. But I just said the Clare players have no excuses. They should be doing better. There's better in them, and I just wish they would play more up front, especially. I think they need to start playing more as a unit up front, as in, doesn't matter who scores once we get a score. A bit like the Limerick mantra at the minute, because that's the way Limerick have played, especially this year. Right? There are no individuals. But I find Clare at times can be very individually, and they don't pass the ball around to the players that are in the better position, but they're definitely overdoing trying to score goals. And I think if they took their points, the goals will come, and just keep ticking over the scoreboard. But Clare should be doing better. It's disappointing. There's a lot of people down here in Clare disappointed.
So they're using Shane O'Donnell a lot, right? Mm. We know his first touch is so good that it makes sense to use him a lot. But then is Peter Duggan being underused then as the big man in full forward? Like, is there a bit of confusion there as to who the target man is, who they're hitting first? Because if you have a target man, he throws it around. But does Duggan and Shane?
Peter Duggan is a fantastic free taker, but he needs to open his eyes. He needs to find lads of passes, but he's been very individual. He took shots there last game. There were some shots weren't on target. He ended up being taken off. So he did. And what's you say about what's the other player's name?
Or Shane O'Donnell and Conor McGrath then. Who's the target man in there?
And I would just love to see Shane O'Donnell taking points. I said it on the show 2 or 3 weeks ago. I reckon he'd score 5 or 6 points a game if he just takes points. But the man has been brainwashed to try to create goals every time.
He had a few opportunities yesterday. Now, you did go for the points there in the first half. He dove 2 or 3 wide. You know, he could have ended up very easily with 5 points. But Spillane and O'Donnell, they had a great battle. It was unbelievable. Now, Spillane is so strong, so tight, and so quick.
He's a brilliant cornerback.
He's very, very good. It's just a natural cornerback. And himself and Shane O'Donnell had a great battle. Now, in fairness to him, it was very, very good to watch. But yeah, apart from that, they're ball winners in there. Conor McGrath was on a lot of ball, and he tries to take people on all the time. You kind of if you're marking Conor McGrath, you kind of step one step back, let him throw it up, and then go attack him. Because you know what he's going to do. He's going to try and take you on all the time as well. Like, you know, so they're going to have have to mix it up a small bit as well. And John Conlon finished with 5 points from play, but I think he's the only one that's taking shots at the goal. The rest of them are kind of, they're trying to get the perfect goal and they're trying to overlap and do all these things. Maybe they're trained that way, but the natural hurling, like if you have not half an opportunity, take your point, back out, reset, back out again, there's a score on the board and then we'll go again. But you can't make goal opportunities every single time you go attack the Cork goal as well. Yeah. So.
Well, that's the thing, but I think that comes down to instinct, JJ, because like, I mean, Kilkenny were famous for going for goal when it was on. Do you know, but you smelt when it was on, like Eddie Brennan and Henry and all, Richie Power and all these would all, they'd just have an instinct. Clare obviously have the wrong instinct, as in they think it's on when it's not on. And like, I mean, that's, you can't coach that.
Yeah, you can coach, but maybe this is a system they're playing. Maybe the half forwarding and the full forwarding are too far away from each other. So if the full forwarding does win it and you throw it off to someone breaking through, maybe they're just too far away, or else the way they're playing, if they have a sweeper at the other end or something like that, and the opponent have a spare marker in between the full forwarding, their full forwarding and the half forwarding, maybe it's something like that they have to address. But it's very, very hard to put your finger on. And if they do kind of rectify a couple of small little things, but that's the frustrating part, they're only small little things. Again, if they can correct them small little things, two or three little things, they could be serious out for the Innes Championship. But again, next Sunday it's going to tell a lot now when they go play Waterford.
Yeah, no, it definitely will. Clare's such an interesting team. I don't know, like, I mean, they, like you're saying, lads, they are very frustrating. Cork have proved that the league means feck all, Damien, because we know now the league, and I said this in the preview show to the whole championship, that the league now is just a warm up competition, pretty much. Like, this is the real deal. Cork were very, you know, uninspiring in the league. Dublin were a disaster in the league. You know, they're completely different teams then when it comes to the championships. So, like, I mean, I know it's very tempting to read into the league, but we really probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, well, Cork just did my, I'd say they trained fairly hard to do it in the league, because it is, and they didn't get relegated. That was a job done. They completely focused on the championship to get their players right. The league, I think the league is a case, just don't get relegated. That's, you know, and if you do get relegated, it's not the end of the world either, because you're in 1B, which allows you to get back into the league championship, which you have easier games the following year, because you're not playing the top tier and you can try out a lot of younger players and see what they're like, and then maybe put in the older players if you top the group or even come second or third in the group. So it's gone to the stage where the league doesn't mean an awful lot. Like, Tip were flying it in the league, so they're up to the league final, and they didn't play well against Kilkenny down in Nolan Park, and Kilkenny went on to win the league. So I think the one team that really did take it serious was Brian Cody, and at the very start of the league we didn't think they would get anywhere, but they just said plugging along, and next thing they got into the league final, they said they might as well win it, because it was in Nolan Park as well, and they went on and won it. So yeah, the league means very little nowadays, Colin. It's all about the championship and all about this new format, and Cork have proven that. And the big thing now is, can they hammer it home now to Tipperary when Tipperary are at their lowest, and renew the rivalry that Cork and Tip have? And I'd say they would love to zoom it into Tipperary, especially when they're at an all-time low, because Tip were very poor last day. Yeah. Cork were good, and Cork are a good team, very good team.
Eddie Brennan showed one of Nash's puckouts last night on the Sunday game, and we know Nash's puckouts have been found out a little bit, because he was trying to hit the spaces on the two wing forwards, and teams aren't kind of copped onto that now. So they're all have different ways of avoiding that. But Eddie Brennan showed a puckout last night that landed nearly on the 21 metre line.
Yeah.
And Harnedy came running out for it to the centre half forward position, and Conor Lehan ran in behind him and caught the Nash puckout inside.
Yeah.
So Nash has now got another string to his bow, that if you want to start marking those two wings, the movement up front, somebody moves out of the full forward line, Nash is able to drive it over the half back line, and the centre forward run in onto it, and Lehan got a point. Now, Eddie showed that one example. I would have loved to have seen more than that one example to know that this is an obvious tactic, or was this just happened, you know? But it looked like it was planned between Harnedy and Lehan, the way they were pointing, and Lehan went in behind.
I'd say it was definitely coaching right now, because in the first half, I think they went a couple too short of midfield, and Tony Kelly kind of stopped one, and then Colm Galvin stopped one at the other side. So I'd say they had to come up with something else now as well, like, you know. But unbelievable. Again, it goes down to coaching as well, and trusting your players. players, and once there's no point in one of them making a run, the other guy has to make that run to make the space there as well. But again, go back to Conor Leahan, Seamus Hannerby and Patrick Horgan, the three big players there for Cork, stood up again yesterday, 2-8 from play between the three of them. How many times are these three guys actually, it's never just one of them, it's the three of them that are stepping up for Cork week in, week out, you know. So again, you're talking about Tipperary now, they're going to have to kind of put the shackles on them three players if they're going to do it. Patrick Horgan, he scored 4 points in play, but didn't give up on the goal. The ball was going wide and every other corner forward left it off. He didn't flick the back in, and Conor Leahan got the goal off it, and that was the turning point for Cork there as well. Huge score for him, but if he had just accepted it, it would have went wide and nothing would have been about it then. But it just goes to show these three players now are going to have to take watching out for the rest of the championship.
Yeah, no, they definitely will. We might talk a little bit more about Cork on Thursday before or when we preview that Tipperary game. Right, we'll be back with performance of the weekend.
Yeah, we do, we have a farm back home, so we have a big farm back home, and we have cattle and sheep, and we have a few donkeys as well, so we had a couple of filly donkeys, so I brought them down, and so we did actually sold them to, I think we had four donkeys on the day, and we sold them to a man from Wexford, so we did. So there's the piebald donkey, so there are, and there's the traditional donkey, and there's the Spanish donkey, and then there's the
Spanish donkey.
They call it. Yeah, you see them on the beaches, never. And so you can actually one time the donkey was useless, right? But now some people have started to get back into them because you can use them for headage, and it's used towards your, we'd say, your bonuses, your grants. A donkey in Eden, a donkey in Eden Palace.
So I'm going to start off this with Dermot O'Keefe, lads, and we only saw highlights of this one, but that run at the end deserves almost performance of the weekend. The speed of him to still have that energy to get up the field and give a perfect hand pass to Keogh to put it over the bar. Like, I mean, Wexford are a funny one. When you see Rec winning a ball and he's not just happy to win a ball and clear it, he actually runs it, hand passes it, and then takes the return and then is out of the traffic. Like, I mean, and then you see the Foley point in the first half where he hand passes it to a lad in midfield. It's like football, gets the hand pass back and he's out clear traffic again and puts it over the bar. Like, I honestly think attacking cornerbacks, playing 1-2s, attacking wing backs, Davey's looking at Gaelic football, honestly, and I think that he's taken a lot of ideas from Gaelic football, JJ.
Oh, he does, yeah. And attacking half back, if you can go up the field, and the license they have to go up the field is because they have a sweeper at the back there. So the sweeper can, Sean Murphy can go over to, if Foley's gone or their guy, or D. O'Keefe is gone, he can just go into his slot, and then he's not actually missed, so there's still 6-on-6 there in the other back line there as well. So when he does go up the field, he has license to actually go 100% because he's not looking over his shoulder to see if his man is following or not, because the sweeper can just pick up his man there as well. So they're after getting a lot of scores off over the last couple of years, and it is one of their focus of their playing, that their half back line has no problem, not even their half back line, their full back line. You see Liam Ryan up the field,
he loves
the
it
league
too,
as
yeah.
well. He just goes bombs forward as well, because they have the license to do it, and the management actually encourages that, because very hard for a forward, doesn't want to be running back into the defence there either. So if they do get 5 yards on him, have given a 1-2 and go back, you're breaking the line there as well, and then you have an option of either going for your own shot or else play the ball into the full forward line, so it'll bypass their own sweeper at the far side too. So
yeah,
a very, very good tactic now.
That's the way the game's evolving, Damien. I'm sure when you play corner forward and your man won the ball, the last thing you want them to do is to play a hand pass and go for the return, because it really shows you up for not tracking, whereas if he just clears it, it's kind of like he had that second, he's gotten rid of it and you're back on him, whereas now you really have to be on your toes, because he'll get, especially with Wexford, more than any other team, they'll give and go, and then they're out clear past the 45 and playing the ball into the forwards.
Yeah, and you have to remember, an awful lot of forwards, they find when they don't have the ball in their hand, they feel their job is done and their work rate wouldn't be great, and they wouldn't be great to backtrack and put in the hooks and the blocks and all that, you know. So yeah, it would be a killer to be playing or to mark a cornerback or a wing back that's very, very attacking minded. But just on the point that you said about O'Keefe, I watched on the Sunday game as well last night, Colin, and like, he got the ball and he just took off, and he stayed solid, didn't panic, stayed going, gave a slight dummy hand pass, took two Dublin players over, and next thing, just at the right time, he offloaded the hand pass with his right hand out to the Wexford player, and Harry Keogh threw it straight over the bar. It was an absolutely brilliant score, And like he's a great player, that O'Keefe, to be fair to him. And I think, was it last year you were saying he scored a point in every game last year, or was it just every game in the league?
No, I think every championship game.
Yeah, and I think it was the league as well. I think it was every game last year he scored a point. And like the last day, Wexford's two wing backs got a point each. So did, and like Davey was a bit annoyed afterwards. He said that they left Dublin in the game, that it shouldn't have happened. They should have pushed on, and you know they will improve as well from that. But I like the way the Wexford hurl. I think Davey has really improved Wexford hurling. He has them playing with a really, really good brand. And delighted that Wexford are after coming back into the hurling mix, you know, because it'll make the Leinster Championship and the hurling Championship a lot better. And I'm delighted to see Limerick as well after coming back into the hurling mix, because once again it's going to make the Championship better. But Wexford now, their four games are 4 weeks in a row, and that will be tough. But then that's where your squad is, if you have a good squad. But yeah, it was a great win for Wexford down in Wexford Park. Brilliant win.
Yeah, Patrick Horgan, geez, there's not much left to be said about him. Like, I mean, he really did it, and he always nearly does it for Cork now, doesn't he, at this stage?
He's so good, he's so intelligent on the ball, and he was coming out there towards the stand side over the sideline. He actually let the ball beat him, and he was a lot of other corner forwards would have took it in their hand, but he actually let it beat him, ran in past it, got the ball, turned around, made an angle for himself and hit it over the bar again. He's just so skillful right or left, and in fairness to me, he did step up to the mark there. And even with the free he took there, he told Nash to go away from the free, I'm going to take this. He put down his own 45 and hit it straight over the bar, and he still had plenty of legs behind the goal there as well. Unbelievable strike.
I thought John Conlon as well, I saw you were obviously watching the Sunday game the same as me, Damien, that Conlon and Horgan were nominated for man of the match, and you wouldn't have thought it from the highlights package at all. I was like, where the hell did these two come out of? Like, I mean, you might have seen, I know they showed a great Patrick Horgan point. I don't remember too many of Conlon's being shown. It looked like Mark Coleman was man of the match from the highlights package. He looked absolutely unreal.
That's why, as I said, there's going to be games on in this year's hurling championship. They won't be on RTE. They're going to be on Sky. And next thing they're on the Sunday game, and it could be very, very misleading. And you're saying they got nominated for man of the match and were barely shown, you know, during the highlights of the Sunday game. And some people are going to be watching and going, geez, he barely features in these highlights. So the highlights can be very, very misleading. But Patrick Horgan, I have to say about the two scores that JJ was on about, the score down the left hand side where he used his body to shield his man, get the ball through him, rolled it, kind of like pulled the handbrake, and next thing slipped it straight over the bar, and the long range free was unbelievable. He struck that ball so well standing, he didn't run at it. I questioned JJ whether it went over the bar if he was standing on his 21 yard line. The ball didn't just go over the bar, it went all the way over and hit the back of the net. So they were two unbelievable. John Conlon actually had a massive last 10 minutes for Clare. I think he got 2 or 3 points in that extended 11 minute period. So what's it called? But yeah, John Conlon has been fair consistent for Clare, and he's able to win his own ball.
Yeah, Liam Blanchfield for Kilkenny obviously got that great goal against Dublin, could have gone down, didn't stay going, and won the game for him, and he backed it up with a good one again.
He came in there for Walter Welch, wasn't playing there, so he came in for him, started full forward.
What's wrong with Walter?
I don't know, really, a slight knock, I'd say. I'm presuming precautionary more than that, right. But I'm not 100% sure, but he scored 1-2 and he had a couple of goal chances there as well. But again, I think he got a bit of confidence off the Dublin goal. I think that's all he's lacking. He's all ability in the world, and he's big and he's strong, he's quick as well. So you'd be hoping now he's going to kick on this game now again, brought him on a ton again, so you'd be hoping he's putting his hand up for next Sunday to start against Galway too.
Yeah. So how is Kilkenny? Because like, I mean, when you look at it just from following the package on the Sunday game, you think, geez, Offaly were right in that game up until the last 5 minutes until Kilkenny got the goal, and then they've tacked on a few points and it looked like a one-way traffic. But
yeah, it was kind of with 10-15 minutes to go, gone in the second half, you think this game is over.
Yeah, then
they took off a couple of subs and brought on a couple of... Now, took off Conor Fordy, he had a bit of a knock, and they brought on Colin Fenley, and then Offaly went back in, we got a goal and got a couple of points, brought back 3 points, but then again he kicked on again and went 4, 5, or 6 points up then again. So it was kind of the game was done, dusted. Offaly had a fight back there for 5-10 minutes, and then Kilkenny kind of kicked on again, like, you know what I mean. But it was good reaction from Kilkenny players that they came back with 3 points, but then Offaly came back 3 points with him, and then Kilkenny kicked on again, like, you know. So yeah, I think we were just seeing out the match really more than anything, that's what we're doing.
Is Colin Fenley within his rights to say, here Cody, knock on Cody's door and say, listen Brian, I'm back here now, and I was very good against Dublin. I'm back flying it. You
don't
saw
think
me against
alive
Dublin.
Going to knock him Corley's door,
I'm saying hypothetically, yeah. If he was stupid. But I'm saying, okay.
You got a couple of pints of play when he came on there, yeah, again. So maybe next weekend it could be, you could see him next weekend, because.
Yeah, were you surprised after his Dublin performance that he's not straight back in, like, say, Murphy was, you know?
Yeah, Paul started and Connor started as well. But I think he probably wanted him to get another half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour under his belt now. And I'd be surprised if he didn't start next Sunday, because he's a big physical guy. And even since he was over there, he's after putting on a lot of bulk now. Yeah. Again, I've seen him kind of against Dublin. He's absolutely massive. He's
What's he doing? Press ups in his spare time or something?
I don't know.
You're not working too hard out in those peace missions, yeah, anyways. Is he playing cards?
Looking for something to do over there. So, yeah.
Right. Well, Mark Coleman will finish up with here, Damien, because. Darragh Fitzgibbon, we'll throw them in two together, because they're and Spillane, we'll nearly throw them all in together, because Spillane came new last year, Fitzgibbon came new, Coleman came new, and Kingston came, but Kingston maybe hasn't pushed on like the other three, but those three have transformed Cork into having a proper cornerback man marker, a class wing back, and a dominating midfielder that can score. Like, I mean, and to back up, that's the point I'm trying to make. It's very easy to come onto the scene and be brilliant in your first year when nobody knows anything about you, and then the following year, you see even Austin Gleeson. Now, I know these lads, some of these lads got all-stars. Often players struggle in the second season, but it looks like these lads are just picking up where they left off.
They're three brilliant players, Colm. Absolutely three brilliant players. And, you know, we'd say just with Coleman and Fitzgibbon, you know, they're all just athletes. You know, there's none of this big bulk of chests and arms and all that sort of stuff in gyms. They're just athletes. They're absolutely brilliant, brilliant players. And, like, even Coleman there, his first point of the game, the last day, big long range, wasn't afraid to take the shot, take the responsibility. Stuck it straight over the bar. You take a couple of the Clare players, they probably would have had to carry that ball, they'd have to pass three or four times before you take a shot. But they're three players, they're going to push on from last year, they're only going to get better. This new championship is going to bring confidence in players again. Every game is going to bring them on another notch, and for them now to go to Turles with the, you know, having another good performance put into them, they're just going to strive on this, and they're going to thrive into the summer. So they are, and they're three great players, and they have careers there now potentially for 10-12 years. They're very young, and they'll add to the whole Cork setup, and it's great when you get new players coming into the setup. They're after adding a bit of experience and what you call now with lots of energy. And that's what they're after doing, after adding to it.
I don't know about you, JJ, but I was actually surprised Mark Coleman took that on, because a feature of his play last year was diagonal deliveries into the forward line, you know. So maybe, unless Myler has told him, look, if that's on, I want you putting it over
maybe
the back.
They were probably tight marked out there. Maybe he didn't see it. It was not on, so he had a pop out, and he backed himself to hit the ball over the bar as well. But he's brilliant, brilliant on the ball. Like, anytime he gets the ball in his hand, he just puts on hurt, but he's looking up all the time. He's always looking around to see where the best ball is going to go. Lovely, lovely player.
He's like a pure natural.
Stylish. He's very, very stylish on the ball there as well. And he's no problem taking on tackle. He looks slight enough, but he's no problem bursting out through tackles there as well. So he's very, very comfortable on the ball as well. So, like, again, great player to watch. But himself and Fitzgibbon are two big finds for Cork this year. Or for last year. Coming on to this year now as well.
Yeah, they've just transformed. And maybe Cork's league, you have to put it in the context that a lot of lads weren't around. Coleman didn't play most of the league.
As well. Yeah. They were. Away, so yeah.
So they had. I think they had a few injuries as well. So when you take maybe four or five of Cork's main men out of there, maybe they don't have the backup. We'll give it to Patrick Horgan, even though I didn't see much in the highlights. But you've talked him up there with some of these scores have been absolutely incredible. I want to talk to Patrick Horgan sometime on the show too, because apparently he's an absolute fanatic about hurling and is down in the. He has to be told to stop practicing down in the club pitch, down in the Glen Rovers pitch, that he's just constantly down there. He goes back there for a puck around after championship matches. Jeez. For Cork, that's just wild. You weren't even that mad in Kilkenny, JJ, when you were.
I didn't see the hurl for 3 days after a championship match.
Yeah, exactly. So Patrick Horgan gets player or performance of the weekend, and he'll get a mug sometime in the future when we eventually get around to them. Right, listen, that's all we've time for.
Colm, make sure you get him on the program and find out if that's true, because you'd love to know, is that a true story that he goes down to the pitch after every championship match, or is that just one of these over exaggerated stories that is often told by a county player or whatever? Because you'd love to know that story's true, because if it is, that's unbelievable. But you'd love, just for the viewers,
Yeah.
So, Colin, you've got to make that happen.
Listen, right? I'll make it happen. It's my next job. I'll try and get him on Thursday. It's hard to get these lads. I want lads on Thursday. I've actually been focusing a lot on the Joe McDonagh Cup because the lower level fellas are happy to take the call, whereas the fellas on the higher level, they've got the games coming every week and they don't want to talk on the Thursday before a game. So it's actually
and that's all comes from the management. Yeah. That all comes from the management. It's terrible. It's all been driven by the management. So it's very sad.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, it is. It is. And you're not even working in the media and you're saying it's sad, Damien. So imagine how I feel.
Well,
right.
Like, what do players get out of it apart from the GAA, apart from, yeah, you put in a top class performance for your county. You know, all you're doing is getting a little bit of media for yourself on the paper or on a podcast. And what are you doing? You're talking about hurling. Or you're talking about football. You're not going into your personal life details and telling them about your bank account.
or planning permission or something.
You know, so you're just talking about hurling and about training, and I think it's terrible. It all comes down to trust with the manager and the player, but sometimes it annoys me that you can't get an interview, or you can't, if you don't look the paper, you don't see many top class interviews being done anymore. So
yeah,
just a pity.
Yeah, don't get me started. Like, we're right at the end of the podcast and you're getting me riled up about this. So we're going to end it there before I start off on one here. Right, we'll be back on Thursday. We'll preview the weekend. Right, good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So I opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.